issued top K. Second teaching, August 27th, 2013.
If anybody has any questions, we're going to leave like 10 or 15 minutes at the end, but write them down and then hand them up to the... somebody needs to be a timekeeper for me. I won't know when 10 or 15 minutes are left. Yeah, there's a clock, but that's fine. That means I have to look at it. Yeah, you can set your timer. Oh, yeah. She's so happy to see you.
Okay.
Watch out for that tail. Hey, tell them, go with. Where's Diana? Diana, give her a call.
Hey!
Go. Is that? Yeah, 420. Yeah.
I'm going in. Tandi tangma dengan tu tadi di kunjir kunjir rasa cakap sesuatu, sesuatu cakap sesuatu le ni le sesuatu, yu cakap sesuatu, yu jen cakap sesuatu, yu sudah kau tukar ke kau tangga ni le sokong kerja ni terus segera, yu jen sudah ti tangga ni yu jen ti le cakap sesuatu, kembali yu le sekali yu jen sesuatu, sampai nak kunjir kunjir rasa cakap sesuatu yu je, yer mesu je semji, tuji yang sudah yu jen. Moya, that's a get some with the need as you some of the uncle to Usuva. Cabacasha sooner pay you delias, Cabacasha sooner you gentiles. Then I'm the penetang my children got sick down with the wind of Quindir and she charges you to you delis, you charge him. Yer me, the same get to genes to you gen charges him with the Lissigua.
Ah,
what did I say? Need him, we are yes, let him.
I think this is right in the beginning when it's talking about the diamond strong sphere of the mind. There's two ways of thinking about the great seal, okay, of reality, Mahamudra. Mahamudra can be the object itself, okay, which is the emptiness, or it's the mind that cognizes that emptiness, and so here it's either the all pervasive nature of everything, or it's the diamond strong sphere of the mind. You'll see that in the beginning of first verse there, right at the beginning in the first paragraph. So if you have this mind, when it's talking about the bodhicitta, really is a word we can use here, or or the altruistic spirit of enlightenment. If you have a mind that says I'm not going to just work for the benefit of my own liberation from cyclic existence, but I'm going to work for liberating all living beings, and in order to do that, I will attain the highest enlightenment of that of a Buddha. Then when you generate that, then you enter into the Mahayana teachings. That's the so then, if you don't generate that, then you won't enter into the Mahayana teaching. So therefore, that's why it's called the border
cool.
For entering into the Mahayana teachings, or the Mahayana path, if you will. So then you're known as a practitioner of the Mahayana at that point. You're also known as a bodhisattva. You know, without generating that, you can't be called either of those.
So
the next line then, down here, basically your last sentence of the first page. Since seeing the actual nature of the mind, that means Mahamudra, if you see the actual nature of the mind, is dependent upon building up bountiful stores and purifying yourself of mental obstacles. Here, bountiful stores means merit and wisdom, and then you're purifying yourself of any destructive actions in the results of that, mental obstacles. Then you're directing your towards your root guru. This is a kind of guru practice, guru devotional practice here. At least 100,000 repetitions of 100 syllable mantra. Here, it's talking about if you've received an initiation or empowerment, then you purify your mind through reciting the Vajrasattva mantra 100,000 times, and as many hundreds of prostrations where you're bowing down while reciting the admission of downfalls, which is again that where you've created a lot of destructive actions in the past, and you're admitting those.
Chinglab shuya chido lame nenjur gi tis gidwa. So chinglab di yabu shuya tanda lame nenjur gi tis sosa dipjan la tu ne se sosa be chi do mende ji chi se ro ti kwe chung ne chi do ne to ji se be kom de se sosa dipjan la se che yi gen bum zam se yi ke se to ji se be kom de se ji so dip chung ne chi do to ji se be kom de ji chi se ro ne sosa be ko de lia mende ji chi se o de ne chi lo ju be ko de la me ne ju ji chi se chi shi de she go on de ma.
So here, when what's indicated by this verse is what's known as the four great instructions, talking about, it's often known as the four preparatory practices, I think people call them. So then here, in order to store and build up bountiful stores of merit or potential, positive potential, some people translate it that way, you practice offering the universe, a symbolic offering of the universe, and do 100,000 of those, and then as indicated here, you have the 100,000 For purifying yourself of mental obstacles, you have the 100,000 syllable mantra, and then as many hundreds of postations as possible, also for the same. And then also, as it's a Buddhist practice, then you learn about what it means to take refuge in the three jewels, and then you have the practice of refuge within doing this. Gyamjo?
So then
you're accumulating like 100,000 of each of these four great instructions, and in order to clear away any former results of any former wrong doing that you got involved in, and then you're also accumulating merit.
Mushi tadi wa chorwa de che dibe kechira. Ne chidan ko chorwa de le chorwa che tu se ta to wo ne ngum ma do. Dan dik me do ale ma shi do shan. Chorwa de le nam ju ma de chorwa che tu cha chen yo do. Ne ga chi dur cha so so de se de sang ma se. Ku sung tu ji ten do ten de kare ne de sham. Ne che ba shin do ro de de chi che ba shi pu. Che ba yo me ba cha lo ko ban sa ba shan. Ten de wa le lu nam na che de so so. Ten de bu shi to de ya.
So this is we're sort of at a transition here where you're getting into the actual techniques, but included in this idea of your preparatory practices is the six different aspects of preparation, and means that you're cleaning and making neat the room in which you're going to meditate, and it'll talk about it later, but also means cleaning and making neat the room in which you're going to meditate, and setting up the altar with representations of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind. And then you make good arrangements of pure offerings. That's the second one. And then the third one is to sit in on a cushion and examine your mind, and then recite refuge and the spirit of enlightenment, which we just covered here. Recite refuge and generate the spirit of enlightenment, or bodhicitta, visualize the field of collecting merit. It's the merit field, we call it, the merit field of assembly. And that, what was that, number four? And then five is to to whatever say, recite or practice, maybe a good practice, the sevenfold branches of worship that are the keys to purifying former wrongdoing and accumulating merit. And then finally, you make a sincere and fervent prayers to attain whatever it is you're trying to attain, right? Your stated purpose. So here we're on page 98, if we look at the actual numbers here. As for the actual basic techniques, although there are many ways of asserting Mahamudra, there are two when dividing according to sutras and tantras. So in terms of the latter, that means the tantras then. It's where it's a greatly blissful, clear light mind manifested by such skillful methods as penetrating vital points of the subtle Vajra body and so forth. This is where you're using the greatly blissful, clear light mind to cognize emptiness,
reality of emptiness.
So then, here, when we're talking about Tantra, you're talking about a very advanced stage of practice. So, but regardless, at that point, you're able to become conscious of these subtle points in the body, the channels and so forth. Here mentions the subtle Vajra body, but this channels and so forth, and you're visualizing, and then you're able to cognize those with a blissful mind, and then you create this, and then you are able to bring up this very subtle. Subtle state of mind, the clear light mind, and then use that to cognize, and use that kind of bliss, use that to cognize emptiness, and so then when you have that understanding of emptiness, then it goes through the two stages that we mentioned before, where you have the I had it written down here, the way it was. The illustrative or illustrative or approximate clear light, where you're understanding emptiness through the medium of some kind of a concept, and then or a conceptual understanding of emptiness. Then you have the actual clear light, where you're then having a direct experience of emptiness.
No, that you know, beginning and wishing to try the same say, she and Baba, Sheba Rabakanga, the Pangan, Sheba Thomas, she do try it. She seemed to try the same skigua.
No.
Oh, didn't I, Shikoya? Gom Jabekada, or Gom Jamie, Donda Lulia, Zadon Lunda, Kilitil, one of the Chesia. Go to the Sheba Thomas Kishuviara.
No.
Sheba Thomas, the Kin, any day, don't you try it? Tapsi Chibua.
No,
Tilia, didn't I, Yanko?
So when we're talking about the Maha Mudra from the viewpoint of Tantra, it's being able to then bring forth this very subtle state of mind and then use it to cognize emptiness. And so then that is called,
Tantric Mahamudra.
So then, this kind of tradition of Mahamudra is descended through Saraha. These are the great adepts of India: Saraha, Nagarjuna, Naropa, and Maitripa. And it's the quintessence of the highest yoga class of Tantra, the Anuttara Yoga. And it's taught in these texts, the seven texts of the Mahasiddhas in the three core volumes.
Do the nga nigna nga de nyunyuchen shed dot shella. Then do the chevin and mumma set it on doa nigna and mumma. Do you come the tempetis, Yora? Mumma can did you some day. No, that don't you consider. She have your parish in the door, cab and boom serum. Nitty serum, cat on the set in the Yora. No, can did you some day come the tempet. No, that don't you get a bass and was staggered.
When we're talking about sutra, then we're talking about what the sutra method of Mahamudra, then this next sentence is about that, where it says that former, the meaning sutra, refers to the ways of meditating on voidness as directly indicated in the expanded, intermediate, and brief Prajnaparamita sutras, the Buddha's sutras that are long, longer and medium and short, then the directly here just sort of means that the obvious meaning of them is this meditation on emptiness.
Wow. Tarbato bala nyandu ina da rangye ina da tekwa chenpo ina da kari ina nyomu sebe seba nyomu le tarbe teba tunghe le tunghe ki ju nyomu le tarbe tarbati tobar chebala ya ne shiroji paru chenpen doyo kamne shtembe tongba nyiriyan chakya chenpo te togo re se songbi wada di mato na ni kwa le tuyo tapshenda mes songbi dugo se da meji pausho lutu songs.
So then Arya Nagarjuna, the supremely realized Arya Nagarjuna, the great teacher of India, of the Mahayana, then he, and great teacher of these, sutras on the perfection of wisdom, these Prajnaparamita sutras saying here, then it's the wisdom of emptiness. So except for this, this means this Mahamudra of realizing emptiness, there is no other pathway of mind that leads to liberation. Liberation here meaning freedom from the causes of suffering, which means complete freedom from the what we call the afflictive emotions or the afflictions or disturbing emotions and thoughts. Wow.
Oh yeah. Dandini de compassion, Sigua. Dandan de shed is one and didn't de compassion, is a Gombulu do less over to the compassion. Chagas shimbu tree parties, and let Chagas shimbo can take on the combo tree parties or a shed. Same game would reach Jebesu, Dundella me, Sonsitus, the same would travel, same day, Sashi, but the conditions of the.
So he says then, the author, Anjan Rinpoche, says here, I shall give instruction on Mahamudra in accordance with his intentions, means Nagarjuna and all the, not just Nagarjuna, but all the lamas and or the great gurus in that tradition. In accordance with his intentions, and discuss the methods that lead you to recognize mind in keeping with the exposition of the lineage masters. Here, recognizing mind means coming to understand the mere clarity and awareness of the, or clarity and knowing, is another way of saying it, nature of the mind.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So then when we talk about different traditions with regard to the Mahamudra in this sense, then there are various descriptions of these, various names of these traditions. So then from the viewpoint of individually ascribed names, there are numerous traditions, such as those of the simultaneously arising as merged tradition, the amulet box tradition, the possessing five tradition, the six spheres of equal taste tradition, the four syllables tradition, the pacifier tradition, the object to be cut off tradition, Dzogchen tradition, the discursive Manyamaka view tradition, and so on.
Bisa.
No.
kadul mandro shan ore ngande ne ta lenji ke jor se chi dwa odili andi che kambu ba se ta tinde sung dwa sem ni lenji ke ba chu gu ko se sem ko ran de de ngal shi ne shi lenji ke sem se de sem ji rang shi tang bu sem te ngal shi er ba ma chu be sem se er odi sem ni lenji ke ba chu gu chu ji go de shi chu gu shi shi chu gu re chi ra ba sang ge ku ju ya ge Namdo Lenji gave a sugar, her said, sugar love said.
Or she sugar.
Oh, this way. No. Same Lenji gave a, that's all.
Sensi Lenji gave.
Oh, Lenji is same day. Sugar, same Lenji gave a sugar goose.
Yeah, so then for this first one, simultaneously arising as merged, you're talking about the system of Kampopa and, a Gagyu guru known as Kampopa, where in his he stated in one of his texts that the spontaneously arising mind is the spontaneously arising mind is the sambhogakaya, I think, or the enjoyment body. Yeah, here. Sorry, wait. Oh, sorry, I had it wrongly. The simultaneously arising mind itself is Dharmakaya, a body encompassing everything.
So,
Panchen Rinpoche in our root text here goes on to say that nevertheless, when scrutinized by a yogi learned in scripture and logic and experienced in meditation, their definitive meanings are all seen to come to the same intended point. There's a lot of, you know, debate amongst the various scholars. Oh, this one is a correct view of Mahamudra. This one isn't correct. But if Panchen Rinpoche here is making the statement that if you really look at their definitive meanings, they're from that perspective, they're the same. So then there's two main techniques of the sutra tradition of Mahamudra, namely seeking to meditate on mind on top of having gained a correct view of reality. That means a correct understanding of emptiness. And then the other one is seeking a correct view on top of having meditated on mind. So then Panchen Rinpoche says, I shall explain here in accordance with the latter technique, where he's going to explain how to then seek a correct view on top of having meditated on mind. So here it goes, the text goes directly on explaining how to meditate on the mind here. So we start out with the sitting on a, where does it say here? On a seat conducive to mental stability. Here means that you have a cushion where the front is a little lower and a little higher in the back. And then you assume the, where does it say that? Assume the sevenfold bodily posture. Sevenfold bodily posture here means usually you sit with your legs in full lotus, as they say in the yoga, hatha yoga tradition. And but if you can't do that, then a half lotus or cross legs is fine. And then you have your. It's important that you focus on your back being, you know, straight. You're sitting up straight, and then you have your, not your head just sort of straight up like this, but you have it bent forward just slightly. And your eyes are half open, kind of looking past the tip of your nose. And, and then your arms are should be, your hands usually one on the left, or right hand on top of the left hand, the thumbs lightly touching, and then you have your, here you have the elbows are out such that in your shoulders are sort of straight, such that then the air can pass under your through your underarms there, and then your mouth, you have your tongue up against the top row of your teeth, and your mouth just closed naturally, and just how it rests naturally. And I think that covers about everything.
Tongue.
And what's that?
Tongue.
Tongue. Yeah, I said tongue up against the back of your upper set of your on your upper palate there.
Yang yeba ne ta ne shin che tang sum che ni ga ma ta yang wo bu ya ma ta sum che
So then in order to stabilize your mind and to have it and not have so many thoughts, I mean, usually your mind is going to have a lot of thoughts racing around. So in order to eliminate that, then you clear yourself purely with a round of the nine tastes of breath. Here the nine tastes of breath is where you're inhaling through your left nostril, exhaling through your right nostril. You do that three times, inhaling through the left and exhaling through the right. Then you switch over and inhale through the right and exhale through the left three times. And then you do both nostrils, inhaling through both nostrils, exhaling through both nostrils three times for a total count of nine times. Then at that time, and then at the end of that, your mind becomes kind of peaceful. Then here's the Geshe-la did mention this. I think I forgot to mention it previously that we have this kind of guru yoga practice here. So it starts with thoroughly cleanse your state of awareness. Means that you come to a state where the mind is kind of through the practice of those nine tastes of breath, then your mind doesn't comes to kind of a neutral state, a kind of ethically neutral state, and then with a purely positive mind, then you create a positive motivation. You direct your practice, you direct toward your practice, your taking of refuge, and the reaffirmation of your dedicated heart of bodhicitta. So you're taking refuge and or going for refuge, and then generating bodhicitta. Then meditate next on the profound path of guru yoga, and after making hundreds of strong, fervent requests, dissolve your visualized guru into yourself. Here you're asking the visualized image of your guru to, he uses the word inspiration here, give you inspiration in your practice of Mahamudra, or you can think of it as requesting the blessings of your guru. However you translate that, then you make very strong, heartfelt requests, and then you dissolve the visualized guru into yourself.
Oh, chungse nyambar shoos ya da.
Okay, so now you absorb for a while, once you've visualized the guru merging with yourself or dissolving into yourself, then you absorb for a while, you remain concentrated for a while, unwavering in this state in which all haphazard appearance making and appearances have been contracted until they have disappeared. So then there's no all the thoughts and so forth and any kind of here Jingwen Gripa refers to it as I'm trying to think of the word that he usually uses, but we usually use excitement and laxity, and so that has been any kinds of that kind of obstacles have been cleared in the mind, so you do not contrive anything with thoughts, such as expectations and worries, you know, from within that, then you don't think of anything in the future, and you don't think of anything in the past. So you're trying to keep your mind just in the present, or the here and now, maybe is the way the translator uses it. And then, so then you're in that state. So then at this point you've sort of quieted the mind down. There aren't any of these kinds of distracting thoughts and concepts where you're thinking about or worried about the past or expecting about the future. Then when the mind, and it doesn't have, your mind isn't under the influence of excitement and excitement and laxity, then at that point you focus on the nature of the mind, the mere clarity and awareness of the mind. So this does not mean, however, that you cease all attention as if you had fainted or fallen asleep. It's not that you're not thinking anything, you know, not having any, you're not thinking anything about, you're not thinking at all or something, you're not bringing anything to mind. Your mind is kind of, it's as if you had fainted or fallen asleep. That's not what we're talking about here. I don't think that that's the state that's being talked about. What is rather you have to use your attention, your kind of, another way is using your mindfulness to increase your attention. Mindfulness is something that sort of looks from afar and checks and makes sure that the mind is not wandering.
Oh, tambati sem sachiru bati a tench tyos gora
mhm
ane di gyori be shishin do shishin de shinwa da ko pas ne mdo nam don da mdo wan do 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 mdo ta ho des shishin do shishin de yaba chi so ka kar chi ne mana ha ma go chi tem de yo ma ro
mhm
o sem de tembe yu do ta da se ri te do we te ane a ko chinwa go pas ne mdo ma jim do ya tin de kar chi do
So then it's, again, it's not that your mind becomes inactive at this point, but you're very active with, as it says in the translation here, the text, station alertness to be aware of any mental movement. So you have to be constantly on alert. You're using alertness, it's called, some people call it, you call it introspection or vigilance. It's a quality that you're bringing to the mind to be watchful of, is the mind coming under the influence of excitement and lethargy? I'm not remembering how he uses that word for excitement. It's kind of, what is it? Yeah, flightiness is the word he uses, flightiness. So is it coming under the influence of flightiness or laxity? And you have to be, the mind is very sort of active at that time. So we're going through this just how it's presented, and then if we have the time, we'll double back and explain a little bit more detail here. So then you're having mindfulness and alertness, very, being very active at that time to make sure you're not under flightiness and under the influence of flightiness or laxity, and then so the mind is not, in fact, is doing something. It's not just not taking anything to mind at all. So mindfulness is not just kind of recalling something. It's a constant state of keeping something very vividly there. So when you have your mind on this object of the nature of the mind, which we can think of it as the he has had a way of saying that here that is quite good, if I can find it. I'm not finding. Oh yeah, mere arising and engaging of the mind. You can say of the moment of cognition. It's another way of saying this mere clarity and awareness. You can say mere arising and engaging of its moment of cognition. So if you're on, that nature of the mind, and then you. You're holding that object, and then from the side, this kind of a monitoring or spying that's going on by this quality called alertness or vigilance.
Sim dineko yakboje tumbuji deagora simgi tila sidwa timla se cherge tese kadul sare khol ba te de re chere sa te de se te se re si wara
So then the next line is firmly tighten the hold of your mindfulness on that which has the nature of clarity and awareness and behold it starkly. Or, this beholding it starkly means you're just right on top of it. Okay, you're not letting it, letting the mind stray from this, from the object of the nature of clarity and awareness, or if we want to say it, the mere arising and engaging of its moment of cognition. Okay, so we're going to take a break here for questions. I don't know if anybody, did anybody write down a question? Hand it up.
I hope they can understand them.
Yeah, okay.
I was just doing my own shorthand.
Do dang ngaki looks nika gogi ge nika chang go de be
no de de ne de be
no de
no de de
oh here does one need both sutra and tantra yeah
no ya
yeah
no de ta de de ba ka so de do dang do ne she ya ge ta ke ba ma bu ka wa do ne she ya ge tong ba ni so ro ne lu ta du so ro
no
o de da nga ne she ya ge ne lu ta du ni de le che ba yo ma re si wa ra
no
do de shi ne la pa ju du sa ko we wa ra
o
ta yi na ko tong ge ge she ba de le che yo ra
no
tong ge ge she ba de le ya ta de yo ra
no
do ne ko chi da go ri ba sam ta ni pa sam ta ya de le do nga ne ya te sa ma yi ba ko ra o sa da long da chi she ba cha mu de ya
So when you talk about this, the sutra and tantric systems, and you have to say that there's no difference between the two systems with regards to the object, the final nature of reality. There's no difference at all. But in the sutra system, the mind that you're using to understand the final nature of things, or the final nature of reality, that is where you're thinking and using logic and reason and applying it and trying and coming to an understanding of emptiness in that fashion, whereas there's a totally different approach in terms of the mind that's realizing emptiness in the tantric system, where you're invoking this very subtle state of mind through meditating on the channels and the drops and so forth to evoke this subtle state of mind and then using that subtle state of mind to realize emptiness or understand or to know emptiness. So then we say it's, you know, no difference in terms of the object of the mind, but in terms of the mind that's experiencing that object, the mind is very different.
Yeah. Don't
So then some scholars say that the difference between these two systems then is that there's a use of like concepts, and using concepts and words to come to an understanding of create an understanding of emptiness in the what we call the perfection vehicle or the sutra system. And then when you get to the tantric system, so you have some kind of conceptual work of understanding emptiness, but then here when you're working with the tantric system, you're creating an experience that's just like a direct experience of emptiness. It's not through the medium of concepts and so forth.
No, that is like a kevakashe sona. Parjin tiba kame shere tongba ni tera di tila laba yo ma resa. To jayas ti, to ba yonsu jayane. Rangu ni tongba toya ti resa. Tila laba tawa chiyo na. Ani to ba yuebe tongba rindu resa. Chiba resa, sanje pendi da tindi sungudwa. An kevakashe sona o toa kera yuebe.
So others explain, oh, that's not true, that the emptiness in both systems have to be the same, because in the perfection vehicle, the sutra vehicle, that you have this experience of emptiness that has to be, that's totally free of any kind of elaborations of any kind of elaborations of mistaken elaborations, that means. And whereas if you say there's some difference, then you'd have to say there's some kind of leftover mistaken elaborations when you enter into practicing tantra. Then you have to say that the sutra system has some leftover mistaken
elaborations.
But anyway, if you just settle it that there's no difference with respect to the object that's being understood or realized, and there is a difference with respect to the mind that does, that's cognizing the object, then you can just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you.
These, I was just trying to see if any of them are related, but this one's kind of related. Chakya Chembo Dan Dzogchen Ki Drawa Yo Rebe, Drawa Drawa Rebe, Kebra Yo Rebe. How does Mahamudra relate to or different from Dzogchen?
Tate ko Dzogchen da Tanda Dien Dro Swan. Dzogchen da Shiji da Tizu Kaga Chikba Reese. Tanda Dien Shen Ne Ko Sungu Dwa. Shen da Chikdi Meda Re Madu Shige. Tanda Nyam Nyung Shen Gune Kom Tia Tuzan.
The author here, as we heard today, Is that me? I thought I turned it off.
How much you said?
Anyway, it says in the text here on page 98 that Dzogchen and Mahamudra come to the same point, that the definitive meanings are all seen to come to the same point, intended point. There's some scholars, this scholar is asserting that there's no difference between the two, that they come to the same point. They can be understood to come to the same point. So there are other scholars then, though, that talk about Dzogchen as being a kind of uncontrived, pure state of mind wherein there's no differentiation between samsara and nirvana and all kind of conceptual thoughts are eliminated. That kind of state of mind is called Dzogchen. Dzog means you just sort of finished all with all that contriving of the mind. And it's very similar to what we've been talking about in terms of the very subtle state of the mind where you're experiencing what we're calling this clear light mind or primordial clear light mind is very similar, where when you experience that clear light mind, then there's no, you don't have these kinds of distinctions between, or judgments and distinctions between things. So then, when you talk about the Dzogchen, it's talking about although you're eliminating all these or this extremely subtle state of mind, you're eliminating the mind is becoming clear and aware, and you're talking about a mind that has no judgments or makes no distinctions between samsara and nirvana. That kind of experience then is it's not like an emptiness with emptiness. Emptiness is a negation of that doesn't have. It's a non-affirming negation, basically, where you're not. There's nothing that's affirmed in the place once something is negated. But here you're the idea is you're negating all these concepts and it's distinction making, and there's no, basically there's no contriving, is the way he calls it. There's no creating going on by the mind, and so then you have this mind that's got, you're left with this mind that's in that kind of a state. So it's not a negation. It's a affirming negation where you're negating something, but there's something still left there. So that's called Dzogchen, or the non-contriving mind, or the beginning. What do you say? Endless mind, maybe, or something like that, or eternal mind. These are all saying, you know, with respect to this kind of mind. Just descriptions of that very subtle state of mind. If you gain familiarity with emptiness during your death, how does that help you in your next life? Chika lamo la chivi ursa de gomne dene dombani dok tubna dene di kirangi che chima la gandres pendokore.
Ore. And you could perceive to do that, come on and have a hanging all your figure, and you could have a hanging all your figure. And then if I tell on the longest research, and if I tell on the two diamond combination, because then you have combination that the wonder to the Sanky to the order, but to Sanky, yes, you do. This year, that in them, I don't get a gene, I'm not a double call to Javina. Don't buy your gum now. Aneko pe love chamber wa ke wa love chamber wa ti je nga ge nyam le chenge je ne ko ti de la mo ti ma do na ke wa sang bu ji la ye de ti de ti ji da ti me na ko tong ba ni ko na ti ke wa tul ke ni ani ke wa chamber ti ko ke wa ya bu ji lang do wa ti de sang me ye ne na
so there's a difference between the practitioners that, oh, did I say what the question was? Maybe not. If you gain familiarity with emptiness during death, how does that help you in your next life? So then, well, if you're a practitioner of Tantra, then you've become totally familiar with the stages of death, and you're becoming, you'll be able to make use of that clear light of death mind, that clear light mind is a very powerful way to understand emptiness, and then as a result of that you can then rise in the intermediate state in what is known as the Sambhogakaya body of a Buddha. Basically you can become a Buddha, okay, based on that you arise in the state of that's the Dharmakaya, and then you arise in the state of the Sambhogakaya, and then when you're reborn, then you have this ability to help all beings with many different emanations. You can create your body in just many different forms to be a benefit to all beings. So then it's helpful for you in your next life in that sense. But if you're somebody who isn't going to be able to attain Buddhahood in and it's called attaining Buddhahood in the intermediate state. If you're somebody like who's not able to attain or highest enlightenment, however you want to say it, in the intermediate state between death and rebirth, if you're not able to do that, and you're able to understand, you meditate on emptiness at that point, and when the clear light of death appears, then it has it's very effective. It's a hugely effective way of creating a great amount of what do you say, good, you know, positive potential, so that then when you take your next life, then, I mean, when you're reborn, then you're reborn in a very beneficial situation. So it's a very virtuous state of mind that you're able to create in meditating on emptiness in that way, so then you're able to based on that have a very fortunate rebirth in your next life, a very effective rebirth in your next life. So but then in the case of a practitioner of Tantra, then it's the Tantric practitioner is somebody who's very skilled in creating, we call that the basis of Dharmakaya or truth body, where you're meditating on the clear light of death, and that point you're basically getting the it's somebody who can who's able to both create blissful states of mind in union of the male and female, and so then at that point then they're creating this basis dharma truth body, and then they when they're then progress to the intermediate state, they have this basis full enjoyment body, and then based on that they attain this basis nirmanakaya or emanation body. Is it possible? Is it possible to have dreams of your death experience, like roaring in your ears and dark blackness, etc.? Sometimes, milam nang la de chiwi timrim yoro di milam la tamtam yong tuvi de be. Milam, kazad, amcho la hur chi yong yor wa de tene yong de nakun chi yor de di tamtam milam la long yong yor de.
Milam shigi mare ni kudi.
Right. It's not a matter of creating something like that in your dream. It's said that people who meditate on these stages of, what do we call them? Stages of death, we could call them, or just stages of dissolution. If you call them stages of dissolution, then they happen at the time that you're falling asleep. So if you practice the yoga or the meditation of sleep is a way where you become very aware of this of that kind of dissolution happening right at the time of sleep, so you can sort of create an awareness of a very subtle state of mind just by practicing that kind of yoga of sleep, where you're aware of all the stages of dissolution at that time.
So then in the
sutra system they talk about how if you're meditating on emptiness, that it will, if you meditate constantly about that, then it will come in your dreams. It's similar to this idea of the dissolution, you know, becoming aware of dissolution at the time of falling asleep. How does heart come into this? How does art come into Tibetan Buddhism? Is art just thought or object of clear focus?
So
So the answer is really depends on your motivation. If you have some motivation to be of benefit to others, when you're, it doesn't matter what kind of art you're doing. If you're painting tanka paintings, or where you're drawing the various deities and they're being used as objects of meditation, or you're creating mandalas and people are using those and so forth. Not so many people in Tibet did that, but there was a lot of, it really depends on your motivation. If you're thinking, if you're doing art, creating works of art just to make money, then that's, then it doesn't go as a religious practice. If you're creating it with a motivation like the bodhisattvas, the bodhisattvas have to practice. They have to become skilled in the various areas of knowledge or science, as some people translate it. And one of those is of being an artisan. Usually, that will mean that you're learning how to make furniture and build houses. But the idea is that you're doing something that others need. You're providing something that others need, and so then bodhisattvas have to learn medicine, and because to help people to overcome illness and suffering of illness and so forth. So, but it really comes down to your motivation, if you're doing it with a thought to be of benefit to others.
Yeah,
that is. So that's enough. So then, Lord,
thank you.
So then we're going to dedicate this two verses here, Roland, that you can't see from over that edge. Maybe you have to step out by Lou. Yeah. And so we'll say those two verses. And I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri, and likewise among the Bhagavata as well. With whatever dedication and praise as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds.
Thank you.
Nancy, could you
Oh, yeah, Nancy. Modern.